Well, I'm going to read now in your hearing Revelation 16, as I will conclude this chapter today and try and open up chapter 17, if it is the Lord's will, when we return in His sovereign providence. Revelation 16, we've considered up to the end of verse 15, although we will make brief reference to verse 15, but we're going to consider some powerful verses. Revelation 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. May God help us as we seek to understand his word even today. You may be seated. Attempting to open up the book of Revelation historically, as I have been seeking to do over the last weeks and months, I confess to you again, has been very challenging. Because how many people have read about or written about the actual historical events revealed to John and to us? I mean, if the libraries were still open, you could go to the history section of any library and find book after book after book written about the Roman Empire, written about the times of the popes, and written about World War I and all these things. Tomes of books dealing with the subjects. Actual historical events revealed to John and us in vision form. But even as all those books have been written, and how many are there? How many of them have not considered or believed that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed these things to John and his churches and his people before they took place in the book of Revelation? Before they took place, the fall of pagan Rome, the rise of Rome papal, and then its weakening, but its continued opposition to the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, up to and including today. I mean, when you consider what took place in the 1800s with respect to Napoleon and the papacy, it's absolutely amazing that it still exists, because God has decreed that it would. A counterfeit and false system, an antichrist system that continues to deceive many people, from which we hope to see many come out of before the truth revealed in these verses that I've reached at the end of Revelation 16 take place. And friends, this is truth that is difficult to open up for three reasons. First reason, these verses refer to things that have not happened yet. They're revealing things that have not happened yet in contrast to the majority of the previous chapters. And so whereas in the previous chapters I could lay hold of historical events, as I've tried to show you, this section is significantly different. Second, there are still six chapters left to consider after the truth of these last verses in chapter 16, where I think the truth revealed in these closing verses of chapter 16 are expanded on, explained, and illustrated in more detail. But third, these verses reveal things that many people have heard about, that many people have heard about, even talked about. But they're like Elisha. They're like Elisha in the Old Testament. Elisha knew that the Lord was going to take Elijah away. But what did he not want? He didn't want to be told about it. He said, "Don't remind me that God's going to take Elisha away." And I fear in the same way, there are those who will use the term Armageddon, but they don't want to be told what it means. Because what do these closing verses of chapter 16 of Revelation reveal and declare to us? I'm going to seek to open up these concluding verses considering four things in this message. Not that there are not others. First, the world. The world. The world as we presently know it is going to come to an end. The world as we presently know it is going to come to an end. Starting at the verse I ended at last Sunday, verse 15, and reading to the end of verse 17. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" Friends, Armageddon is coming. Armageddon is coming, and how many, even with little or no Bible knowledge, have heard or used this word, Armageddon? Right? Sadly, how many in America today will think no more than of a movie with that title? That's all they'll think about. Did you see Armageddon? No, you didn't see Armageddon. Because when Armageddon takes place, you won't be asking somebody, "Did you see Armageddon?" What a testimony to the times we are in. Men will use biblical words, but they do not want the Bible teaching behind this unique biblical word and what it refers to. Why do I say unique biblical word? This is the only place in the Bible where this word is found. It's the only place in the whole of Scriptures where you will find the word Armageddon. And yet how many will talk about, well, there's a battle of Armageddon coming. Many will use the term battle of Armageddon to refer to what they call the final battle against good and evil, right? You know, that's how they picture it. Ignoring the context in which this word and truth is found. Namely, that it's not just a word referring to a battle against good and evil in the generic sense of good and evil. Meaning men deciding for themselves what they see as good and what they see as evil. But friends, this is the decisive and final battle between the forces of Antichrist and those aligned with him against the biblical Christ. Truth, I believe, that is introduced here but expanded on in Revelation 19. Armageddon is a word referring to a world and a world system aligned against the Son of God. In one final battle that is going to be defeated, even though it aligns itself against the Lord. A system of belief and practice aligned against the biblical Christ described in Revelation 17, defeated in Revelation 18. A world aligned against the truth of God and his saving gospel. And friends, let's realize this is something that God warns about back in the Old Testament. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The final display of this being captured in the words, the battle of Armageddon. An apocalyptic picture of that final act of rebellion against God and rejection of God. Because consider go back to verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, working signs, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The battle of Armageddon. And what do you see here? What do you see pictured here? A world aligned against the God of the Scriptures. A world aligned against the God of the Scriptures in the three ways I described last Sunday, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Atheistic, evolutionary communism, friends, is engulfing the world. One world religionism, with everything but Christ in the Scriptures and the triune God. And the rejection and assault against the truth that the Bible is God's unique written word of truth. The whole world gathered to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, a world that was created by God, owned by God, sustained by God, in united rebellion and rejection of him. An unbelieving man is offended if he's told he is insane. You're going to fight against and reject the omnipotent God? You're going to fight against and reject the omniscient God? You're going to fight against the omnipresent God, and you think you will be able to win? Now, as I said, the challenge of understanding what is being pictured here is very, very great. Not the least reason being, it hasn't taken place yet. It hasn't taken place yet, for if it had, I wouldn't be here preaching and trying to open it up for you. Think of it. Trying to describe something that hasn't taken place yet is not easy. But remember again, this is imagery. This is imagery. What is revealed is pointing to something else. It is revealing something else. In this case, as I said, something that is yet to take place. Just going back to the drying up of the Euphrates River, a picture of the decline and ending of the Ottoman Turkish Empire that history clearly reveals has taken place. So what is being pictured by this place that in the Hebrew is called Armageddon? What is the place called Armageddon referring to? What is it picturing? Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Because not only is this the only place in the Bible where the word Armageddon is found, there is no known geographical location with this name. And notice, John gives you the name of the place in Hebrew, Armageddon. Armageddon in Hebrew means Mount of Megiddo. It means Mount of Megiddo. Now, friends, there is a plain, and I'm not referring to the thing that flies, there is a plain or a valley of Megiddo in the Middle East, but there is no Mount Megiddo. The closest mountain to the actual plain or valley of Megiddo is Mount Carmel. So remember, this is imagery pointing to something else, even as the drying up of the Euphrates River referred to the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. For it is not possible from this perspective, it's not possible. Notice, all the kings are to be gathered into this valley, or to Armageddon. It's not possible to gather the kings of the whole earth and their armies into the actual valley of Megiddo. How high up would all the men and equipment have to be stacked to fit into this one valley? For how large are the armies and equipment of all the nations of the whole earth today? Would it even be possible to fit the armies of Russia or China or America into the valley of Megiddo? So what is being referred to by Armageddon, by Mountain of Megiddo? Well, what took place? What took place more than once historically in the Valley of Megiddo? See? What took place more than once in the Valley of Megiddo? It is a place marked out biblically by defeat. The kings of Canaan were defeated there by the armies of Deborah and Barak, as sung of afterward by Deborah and Barak in Judges 5:19. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They were defeated there. King Ahaziah was defeated and died in the valley of Megiddo. 2 Kings 9:27. But when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. It is where King Josiah was defeated and died. 2 Kings 23:29-30. In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went up against him, and he slew him at Megiddo. When he had seen him, and his servants carried him in a chariot from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, and made him king in his father's stead. Defeat, defeat, defeat. So Megiddo is a place marked by defeat. But Armageddon means Mount of Megiddo. Megiddo is a plain or a valley. Is there a mountain near the valley of Megiddo? Mount Carmel. And friends, what took place on the Mount of Carmel? The defeat of the prophets of Baal by Elijah. The defeat of the prophets of Baal by Elijah. Mount of Megiddo, Armageddon, When unbelieving men all align against the Lord and his people for this final battle against him and his people, friends, they're going to be what? Defeated. They're going to be defeated. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." What is being pictured here is man's final and futile attempt to eliminate the truth about God from his world. And friends, is it wrong to wonder, in light of what I said last Sunday, that what was being pictured coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, how close we are or may be to this final battle? When the only thing that will not be allowed in this world is the truth about the biblical gospel and the living God of Scripture. Remember, man is not neutral. He who is not with me is what? Against me. He who does not gather with me does what? Scatters. He who is not with Christ is against him. And based on these verses, the time is coming when this world aligned against God is going to seek to eliminate any reference to him. The kings of the whole world gathered together to battle against God. But remember something. God is omnipresent, eternal spirit. So he cannot be hurt. He cannot be hurt or affected by anything physical. Man makes war against God with his words. Man makes war with God by his unbiblical ideas and false philosophies. Truth I will return to under my third point. But second, the end of the world as we know it is going to be like nothing ever experienced on the earth when it takes place. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." This seventh angel is pouring out the seventh vial, the last vial of history. There are no more vials after the seventh vial. Will John explain and expand on this truth in the chapters that follow? I believe he does. But whatever this seventh vial is picturing, it is going to be universal in scope. It's going to be universal in scope and like nothing ever experienced before. Verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now, why did I say universal in scope? Well, where is the seventh vial poured out? Where is it poured out? Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, into the air. Friends, tell me one place on this earth where man lives and breathes where air is not present. Where can you go and live without air? There is no such place. Without air, you die. The pouring out of the seventh vial is going to be universal in scope because the rebellion against God is universal. Unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Now, more than one commentator has made reference to Ephesians 2, verse 2, with respect to this, starting at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now the devil is certainly going to be defeated when the end comes. But the previous six vials, like the trumpets and the seals that preceded them, pictured actual historical events. So I ask you, is it right to eliminate the physical from this seventh vial? Especially when you have what is written in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The battle of Armageddon precedes this. But friends, the end of the world as we know it is coming. And when it comes, it will be like nothing ever experienced before. It is done. But third, the end of the world as we know it is going to be because men have all united together to reject the living God and persecuted those who confess and follow him. Verse 14 again, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon, the final and futile attempt of rebellious man to eliminate the truth of the true and living God from his world. But remember what I said earlier, God is eternal spirit. God is eternal spirit. He can't be affected by any physical weapons. He can't be affected by any assaults. You can't go up and punch God. But his people have been. And his people continue to be. Consider what Jesus said to Saul on the Damascus Road. As he was breathing out threats and slaughter against Christ's church, what did he say? Saul, Saul, why persecute thou my church? That's not what he said. What did he say? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Those who don't want God persecute God through his people. This unbelieving and rebellious world cannot dethrone God. It is impossible. But it can seek to eliminate any truth of who he is by assaulting and making war against those who confess King Jesus. And friends, is this not what actual history in the book of Revelation has revealed already? What did pagan Rome try to do for 10 years in the 4th century under Emperor Diocletian? What did it try to do for 10 solid years? You can read of it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. What did they try to do for 10 solid years? Eliminate the gospel preaching and believing church. What did papal Rome thought it had done prior to the Reformation? It thought it had eliminated the gospel preaching and believing church. It even passed a decree about that and had a celebration. What has the rise of atheistic evolutionary communism, one world religionism, and rejection of the Bible as the word of the living God been seeking to do? Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Friends, how close are we to the final display of this rejection and rebellion against God pictured by the Battle of Armageddon? Friends, I don't know. I'm not here to set dates or anything like that. I'm simply trying to explain what this is picturing. But dare I ask? Dare I ask? If these new COVID times that try the souls of men are not revealing something about the times that we are living in and through. Because prior to these new COVID days, the churches in the world, for the most part, were ignored. As the experts tell us, we're living in a post-Christian era, not minimizing in any way, shape, or form the churches undergoing real persecution in communist and Islamic-dominated countries today. But friends, what did All the governments of all the nations of the world for varying degrees of time have no problem expecting and wanting to see. The church is closed. And how many expressed agreement and anger at any desire for churches to remain open after careful consideration of what was taking place? Now, I'm not downplaying the extreme difficulty of seeking to rightly discern the times we are going through and the fact that this almost universal close mandate was applied to places of unbiblical worship and teaching as well. But friends, when the society at large, when the society in a worldwide basis sees no problem with saying churches should be closed and abortuaries do not need to be, is it not wrong to ask, what are these things saying about the times we are living in? Pagan Rome tried to eliminate the churches. Papal Rome, prior to the Reformation, labored to eliminate gospel-preaching churches. But friends, when in church history since the Reformation has it been thought throughout the world that open churches are not essential? Add to this the number of the nations in the world today that openly prohibit and persecute gospel preaching and teaching churches and believers, and did so before COVID-19 and continue to do so. Is how many believers have to meet in secret in the world today. They can't do what we have done so easily here again today. How many believers have to meet in secret in the world today because of this ongoing oppression and persecution? What comfort must they receive from the book of Revelation? But I freely confess to you, facing the times that are upon us and understanding them correctly is not easy. But let us try to honestly consider the times we are living in light of this final battle against God. How many in America had no problem in seeing the churches closed and still want them to be? How many nations in the world today persecute and oppress believers in Christ? How much state and religious sanction and proof persecution is going on in the world today against our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, even as I speak to you? And don't think it couldn't happen here. Don't think it couldn't happen here. If the misnamed Equality Act becomes law, who do you think are going to be singled out for not keeping it? Believers in the first century had to meet in the catacombs because of persecution. What lies ahead for the churches in the Western world and the world due to the ongoing influence of what I have said has been coming out of the three mouths for the last 150 years and continues to come out? Add to this the push for and growing acceptance of universal surveillance. How close will the church be to the pouring out of the seventh vial if there is something greater than COVID-19 strikes the world? A global economic collapse or some environmental disaster or some political upheaval or war, and the only answer is seen as one world religion, one world government without the biblical Christ. People clamoring for peace and safety. Without God and His gospel. Friends, is the current worldwide fear over this thing called COVID-19 a preview and warning to believers as to what fear-filled people are capable of doing and willing to do? I don't know. For think of it, what we have seen over the last year and are continuing to see. Families and friends have been and continue to be divided over this. I can't see you. I don't want to see you out of fear. People have been and are continuing to be terrified over something that has not seen people dropping dead in the streets around the world. What is being revealed when people see their own healthy family members and friends as toxic and dangerous? What if believers are singled out as the reason for the next calamity in the world, as they were more than once in pagan Rome? Friends, I don't know what each day is going to bring, but Revelation tells us there is a day of Armageddon coming when mankind will make a final and futile attempt at eliminating God from his universe. And who are the only ones that will oppose this? True believers. How will this revealed day of Armageddon actually come to pass historically? Friends, I don't know. I'm not one of these people who say, oh, I know what's going to happen. I don't know, but the Bible reveals that it is coming. That it is coming. When you are trying to expound on something that is not taking place, the last thing anyone can be is dogmatic and say, my way or the highway. But are we to ignore the constant background noise? Are we to ignore the constant background noise in the world today? The push need for a new world order. How many times have you heard that? The push for a new world order, a one world religion, a one world government, all without Christ in the Bible. What if the one world religion and government pushed by the current Pope gains increasing acceptance is the only solution to the world's problems for peace and safety? We need a one world government. We need a one world religion. We need a world currency. Without the biblical Christ, and the only ones that will not go along with this throughout the world will be those seen as hindering world peace and safety. True Christians. I simply ask, what are the times we are going through telling us about the times we are going through? Because men want peace and safety without the Prince of Peace. They want peace and safety without the Prince of Peace. That's impossible. Because fourth and finally, the end of the world as we presently know it, pictured in the pouring out of the seventh vial, is not going to result in those who have rebelled against and rejected King Jesus facing the folly of their rebellion and rejection, but being judged by the Lord for it. A judgment that will not lead them to repentance and faith, but anger towards God. Verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talon, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Whatever is being pictured here related to the day of Armageddon, as God displays his displeasure against this final rejection and rebellion against him, the one thing it will not do is move men to repentance and faith in the Savior of the world. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. It will not be hard for God to display his displeasure against a world that seeks to totally eliminate any reference to or acknowledgement of him. Yes, Jesus says, thankfully does, come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the scriptures also tell us there is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest for those who reject the truth that King Jesus is the only one who can give you true rest and peace both now and forever. Because friends, how many talk about the need for peace and safety today? How many talk about the need for peace and safety today, but without Christ? That's impossible. That's impossible. You can't rebel and reject the Prince of Peace and expect to have peace and safety now or forever. How close is the world to displaying its final rejection of the Savior of the world by a worldwide persecution of believers if that is how the day of Armageddon will be fulfilled? Friends, I don't know. Armageddon. Unbelieving rebel man's final and futile attempt to eliminate the truth of God and his saving gospel from his world. And I simply repeat, what does the constant background noise today of new world order, one world government, one world religion, the great reset, a push for a world digital currency, the push for worldwide vaccinations as the only way to a safe and peaceful world? I ask you, what do all these things reveal about the times we are in? Words, ideas, philosophies, and plans. All without one thing, the biblical Christ and his saving gospel. How many in the world today see and may yet see these things as mankind's only hope for peace and safety? And how many think peace and safety for both time and eternity is found in Christ Jesus alone? Who are you looking to as the day of Armageddon is coming? May it be Christ Jesus alone. Let us pray. Lord, I wasn't capable to open up the truth of these verses, but I hope in some way I've said something that will benefit and bless your people, especially because of the times in which you have decreed we would be living. Help us to realize there is a day coming when men will show their total rebellion against you. Should that day be in our times, may you give us the grace to be those who stand against it, testifying to the truth that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us, we ask in his wonderful name. Amen.